Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Moving around like a chess piece, I mean, I love it. Shows that you can have some versatility and that you actually know what you're doing out there, and you can build more trust between you, your OC, and your quarterback. And then going against them guys, you just get better every day, you know, every rep. Like I said, you conversate about the rep and understand why you won or why you lost it, and you come back the next play and compete like that.
Bills back at camp tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe with you here from our Amherst studios. Welcoming in Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, to chat a little football, maybe some Olympics too. Sam, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. How you taking in the Olympics? Enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she's sort of getting into it for the first time. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on the TV.
I saw Ireland grabs the swimming gold, which was...
Really?
Was, yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that.
That was the event. I was talking about it earlier, Sam. The U.S. guy was interviewed and said it's the strange athlete. It's not that strange. The affliction where the silver feels bad and the bronze feels good. The American finished in second and said, he said in his interview, I'm the first loser. He was the one that lost to the Irish who took gold. So, you know.
Yeah, this guy, Daniel Whiffen, has been kind of making waves, literally, over the last couple of years, and is one of these people that seems to have literally zero sort of just, he's coming out there saying he's the best. He's going to set world record times. He's going to win gold. He's been saying this for like a year, and particularly for an Irish person, like, we're not good at that, you know? Like, Americans maybe have a certain degree of comfort with that level of brash, you know, go out there and tell them you're going to do it and then do it. Irish people don't do that. We're the underdogs. We're not supposed to be front runners, you know, Olympic favorites. And this guy just goes out there and backs it up. It's amazing.
Yeah, very cool. And Bob Fink was the American who finished in second for that silver medal. Now we're full on in gold zone. Tennis, beach volleyball, badminton, equestrian, dressage. You know, Sam, the routine in this time of year is Olympics in the morning and then training camp highlights in the afternoon to see who's dominating who. So football season in camp, it's everybody looks good in shorts. Season's always a good time.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. It's the first sort of glimpse of new football again. So the first reps, as soon as we see them, it's time to try and rewrite everything we thought we knew. But ultimately, none of it really matters. I mean, we're going to get small kind of movements in depth chart. We're going to change around some things. But realistically, this doesn't determine whether a guy is going to be good or bad in the upcoming season.
Right. How much... are you in the last week, especially, even before the preseason gets rolling, are you fending off you know, especially on social media, different markets, different fan bases, because their guy had a good first week of camp? And even how much does that extend into the preseason for you, for how much meaning it actually has?
Yeah, well, I think it sort of, it throws up flags, you know, if a guy is having a really good, because you can, you know, you can identify these guys that come out of nowhere and have an amazing camp and are going to be different players than people thought they were going to be, either at draft time or if it's a free agent addition or whatever it is. It does happen. You know, Dak Prescott came and immediately, as soon as he was in camp, same with Russell Wilson, like, when these guys got on the NFL field, it was clear very quickly that they were not the player that they were expected to be when they were drafted. Dak Prescott in the fourth round, Russell Wilson in the third. Basically, immediately, those guys looked like the guy and were going to be something bigger than they were expected to be. And, you know, the same thing is true with players at other positions. So you can identify those guys, but there are also players that have this amazing training camps and preseasons, and, you know, even certain individual teams kind of have awards going out to the best training camp performer. The Vikings call it Mr. Mankato. And that guy is not necessarily, you know, they're even a significant contributor every single year. It's just that guy had an amazing training camp.
Yeah. We're learning too, you know, you get these little spots, depending on what the drill is. If they're doing 11 on 11, you start to learn, like, who's getting more run with the ones, like, what does a team, excuse me, maybe plan on for a guy? And I think maybe in the last week, Sam, here, like, Coleman is getting run with the ones and Allen, you know, every opportunity, but we're seeing a lot of Mac Hollins running with Allen in the first team, and I think maybe that would have been, you know, not that big a leap to think they draft Coleman, but is he going to be playing 90% of the snaps on the outside? You know, it does appear that it'll be more of a rotation. So, I know, just to reset, like, on where you are with Coleman and kind of how that sounds to you, that he would be a part of the first team offense, but it looks like it might be a bit of a rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need him to be part of the first team offense. You know, the way that they've gone about this offseason, the players they lost, the sort of identifying of Coleman as their guy, he needed to be a major contributor, a major part of that offense. In year one, they don't really have the runway to kind of bring him along slowly and, you know, have him just be a role player. He needs to be a significant player for this team. So that part, I think, absolutely makes sense. The question was going to be, how do they deploy him? Where does he line up? In what types of personnel packages? You know, what is this offense going to look like relative to a year ago? Are they going to move in a different direction? So it definitely makes sense to try and get these other players involved. And a guy like Mac Hollins, but he's one of the couple of players they have on that roster that are built for and have the tool set to play that sort of X wide receiver alignment and role on the outside. That big body ability to win down the sideline, to defeat aggressive physical press coverage at the line of scrimmage. You know, Hollins may be a limited receiver, may not be the best receiver in the world, but that skill set is what he should be doing. So he makes sense to be a player that gets sort of moved into the first team offense in that role.
The other story so far here, I mean, safety, they're kind of banged up. I mean, Mike Edwards and also now Cole Bishop, the second-round rookie, are on the shelf. They bring in Kareem Jackson, who I remember thinking, Sam, middle of last year, like, I don't even think this dude belongs to be in the NFL. But he is, and they needed a guy and a veteran, so he's here now. Safety in general, I guess where you are on how important that could end up being for a team or the Bills, because it's been a spoiled life having Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde basically play almost the entirety of seven seasons. Hamlin, who actually is getting starting snaps right now, had, you know, a 15-game run when Hyde got injured. But I guess looking at safety, like, how much do you think that could impact their defense in a negative way if they don't have the level of play that they've had?
Yeah, it's a difficult kind of conversation because I think Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they're both very good players. They're both extremely good safeties. But I think this defense does also put those guys in a really good situation to look good. So I think it's a combination of having had good players in a favorable defensive scheme that makes their life easier and sort of makes those guys look as good as they can be. So theoretically, half of that is still there, right? The, whoever's going to step into these starting spots vacated by those two are going to be in a defense that makes them look as good as they can get. And potentially it's going to be easier to replace those guys than it would be in a different defense where that wasn't true. So I would expect we definitely see some kind of drop off because they were such good starters over the last few years. But, you know, unless they do get this injury run that just sort of, you know, drops them way down the depth chart and leaves them scrambling for just bodies to fill the spaces, if they get their guys back healthy, you know, I think we should still see some pretty solid secondary play in at the safety position because, you know, that scheme does minimize the asks at that position and it really does kind of limit the kind of the amount of space that they have to cover and just lets them zero in on a couple of things and really help out the corners.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. You know, Sam, this time of year, I think what we tend to do, those of us that are like close in with one team like we are, we're at camp every day, we focus in on the team we watch and where they want to get better. And a really important thing to do is to think of the context of the league. And last year at this time, we were talking about how good and how loaded the AFC was. And I wonder how you feel about the AFC now, a year later. Is it stronger? Is it even better? I mean, Jim Harbaugh jumps into the AFC, and Baltimore had a really good season and decides to add Derrick Henry. And Aaron Rodgers, well, he missed last year. He's back this year. So, you know, like thinking about the Bills in the context of the AFC, how do you think the conference as a whole looks versus a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks broadly similar, but that's to say incredibly loaded. You know, I think a lot of the teams that we expected to be really good last season, maybe they weren't, but it was sort of injuries or things that came along. Like the Bengals were expected to be one of the best teams, obviously, last season. Joe Burrow gets hurt at the start of training camp, and they weren't the force that they were expected to be. You know, this season, I would expect the Bengals to be right back there with Joe Burrow. So maybe a couple of teams are definitely moving up. Obviously, we expect the Jets to be better if Rodgers is healthy and stays healthy. But a year ago, that was the case already. You know, it wasn't until the very start of the season that Rodgers actually went down and suddenly the Jets were a different team. So, yeah, the Chargers, we expect to be better with Jim Harbaugh. The question is how much better and how quickly can that happen? The Jets should be better. And then teams like those Bengals, maybe the Colts take a step better with their young quarterback, Anthony Richardson, staying healthy. But the top teams are going to remain the top teams. Kansas City is phenomenal. Baltimore, extremely good. Miami, you expect to stay really strong. The Texans made moves like they expect to win a Super Bowl, not just, you know, open their window for a period with this C.J. Stroud, Bobby Slowick collection on offense. And the Browns, that might be the best roster in football if they could get Deshaun Watson playing at even an average level at quarterback. They're going to be a tough team to beat as well. So, yeah, the AFC for the last couple of years, I think, has been an absolutely loaded conference.
All that in mind, do you have a place you'd put the Bills floor, ceiling and floor? Because, as you know, you're rattling off teams. Some of those teams finished behind the Bills. And if they're stronger, then there's, you know, places to drop. And I wonder if you think the floor for Allen is still a wild card spot or if it could go worse than that.
I think because there are so many good teams, the floor is always just outside the playoffs. You know, it wouldn't take much for a team like Buffalo, like almost any of the teams we mentioned. Really, the only team I think that you would say is completely insulated from that is Kansas City. And even then, one injury to Mahomes for a period of time could change that dynamic completely. But for any of these AFC teams, there's so much talent in this conference. It wouldn't take much. It would take an injury. It would take a couple of drop games for all of a sudden, you know, they're playing week 18. They're playing that 17th game just to make the postseason, which doesn't necessarily rule them out of contention. It just means that they've found the bad end of this absolute nightmare of a conference. So, you know, I would expect Buffalo definitely to be better than that. I would expect them to make the postseason. I would say it's still, you know, their division to lose relative to these other teams. And with Josh Allen, anytime he's your quarterback, your ceiling is clearly Super Bowl contention. But, I think any of these teams, it's entirely possible you could miss the postseason if a couple of things don't break your way because of how many good teams we're talking about.
Yeah, and for the Bills, the division will matter a lot for that, obviously, Sam. And the Jets, I mean, it probably goes a little deeper than this, but a lot of it feels like just if Rodgers stays healthy and is any version of what he was, then the Jets have enough great players and defensively, like they'll be great. How about Miami? Like, what is to figure out there for you from last year to this year? They have the Tua contract, and maybe the consequences of that to their roster are more a couple years down the road, or maybe even starting like next year. But for this season, like for you, did they get figured out as the year went on last year, or do you think they can line up, play a similar style of offense that they did last season and still expect that they're going to be one of the elite offenses of the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things happened to them last season. Number one, they did get figured out a little bit. I mean, remember, we went into last season, they broke out this kind of short motion thing, and that broke the league. Like, nobody was prepared for that. Tyreek Hill working the short side, same motion, just being set in, set going ahead of the snap, and nobody could keep up with him. Nobody could figure out how they were going to run those routes and where he was going to be, and they were just absolutely torching everybody with that. As the season wore on, everybody started stealing the concept, started using it themselves, and it did. You know, defenses got a handle on it as the year wore on, and that's 2 years now with this offense in Miami with Mike McDaniel, where the longer it's gone on in a season, the more defenses have figured it out and been able to slow it down late in the year. Now, they have to figure out, is that just a permanent feature of what his offense and what Miami is going to do? They're going to be incredibly fast starters. They're going to be basically unstoppable for the first half of the season. And then once defenses have tape on them, once teams start to settle down and figure out what they're doing, late in the year they get a much better handle on it and they slow it down and they stop it being as destructive as it is. Or can McDaniel figure out a way of keeping a step ahead and getting that advantage back? The other thing that happened to them last season, late in the year, though, that kind of gets swept under the rug now, is they literally ran out of pass rushers. I mean, if you look at the list of players in that Kansas City game in the playoffs that were rushing the passer for Miami, they were calling up, you know, aged veterans just off the couch, asking them to rush the passer 12 times in, you know, negative 20 degree weather just to have somebody out there doing it. And that changes everything. Now it means you have to blitz everybody because you don't trust your geriatric pass rushers that just came off the couch to get any pressure on Mahomes. Obviously, Mahomes carves up the blitz historically, so Miami couldn't really stop Kansas City, and their offense didn't get anything going themselves, and suddenly the game is a comfortable loss, and it just gets put into the category of, well, Miami couldn't win in the cold weather. You know, I do think that Miami's late run is different if they don't get so many injuries to their defensive stars and their pass rushers. And that, it kind of gets all lumped into one thing, but I think they're very distinct problems that they faced last season.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Sam, thanks very much for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
All right. Follow him on Twitter if you're there. Sam Monson. He does the show, he and Steve Palazzolo, often with Pro Football Focus, and he's on at PFF underscore Sam. I've got a... What am I doing right now? I'm slowly shifting back into fantasy football season.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm in Dynasty, but I'm about to go back into a guillotine draft or two.
Oh, guillotine. Let's go.
Let's go guillotine.
Oh.
I've got... This is... Listen, I understand this might be like your golf game. Nobody cares about your fantasy league or your golf game or how you got to work. But we've got I've got one league that has one keeper element. And sometimes I think these conversations are fun. Like, what's the one – maybe we'll do this tomorrow or Friday. What's the one rule in your fantasy league that you like that
– You would suggest like every other –
Yeah, other leagues. Yeah. Leagues looking to spice it up some way.
Yeah.
How do you like it? So I have one league that's a redraft league. And the way that it works is you get one keeper.
Yep.
You keep that player for whatever you rostered them for the previous year. And if you want to keep them for a second year, that doubles. So you bid on Josh Allen for $4. You get to keep him for $4 the next year, and then $8 the second year, and then you can't keep him after that. Mm-hmm. So the max you can have any one player is 3 years, and salaries double. So sometimes, let's say you drafted Nico Collins for $30, and you kept him. And then again, it's $60. You probably wouldn't pay that price. So, like, I'm going through my league right now and, like, all right, what are my options here? What have I got? For instance, Tyreek Hill. last year. Someone kept on a $200 budget for 32. Like, what a deal. Now it's 64. I don't think you keep him for 64, right? So that's, I'm going through that right now. Just, all right, who are the best deals? Because it's not only fun to check for my own team, but this will give you an idea of who was basically free last year. For instance, Nico Collins, who I mentioned. Nico Collins last year was rostered in this league I'm in for $1. He will be kept for $1. No doubt about that.
Yep.
It's another point. Sam LaPorta might be his keep as well. Sam LaPorta, $1.
Mm-hmm.
What's he this year? On a $200 budget in an auction league, is he like 40?
Yeah. Might go the most for tight end.
Yep.
Or so, near it.
It's just kind of a fun way to look at it. It's also a reminder of how much turnover there is year to year. I asked you off the air at training camp yesterday, how many players are new in the top NFL top 100 every year? And you guessed right. It's like 35 players are new every year.
Yeah.
Some of that's driven by injury. Some of it's driven by, you know, guys are old. But
rookies just coming in the league and breaking out of me. Like LaPorta, you can't. Well, actually, is he in the top 100?
No.
He's not? Okay, I was going to say, like, some guys just show up
break
out like that, but I guess LaPorta's not even in it. If he does it again, he will. But
No, I think he was number 80.
Number 80, okay.
Sam LaPorta, number 80.
Right, like, some guys just, you got to put him in because, hey, this rookie just showed up and was, like, the best tight end in football. Like, what are you going to do? You got to put him in.
You get any comparisons on LaPorta and Kincaid? Like, what did LaPorta get that Kincaid didn't? Did he get downfield passes? Did he get way more targets? His yards per target.
Good question.
His yards per target was 7.4. Let me pull up Kincaid's on that.
I'd be interested to hear what that is because I remember looking up what their deep targets were and they weren't as different as I thought they'd be.
What if I tell you this?
Maybe the averages though.
The yards per target for Kincaid 7.4.
Yeah.
LaPorta 7.4.
I was gonna say yeah. I had it on. Trying to find this real quick. I found going through some of the splits at Pro Football Focus' site on Kincaid versus other tight ends. I was actually kind of surprised to find that Kincaid, who we thought never got any looks down the field, actually was getting looks down the field about as often as all the other top tight ends.
Yeah.
But it maybe only happened right at the end. Like it all happened at the in like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know the only thing that might have needed to happen for Kincaid to be recognized like LaPorta is get the ball sooner. Because if we go to LaPorta's season last year, like how long did it take him to establish himself as like, whoa, LaPorta had 22 targets in his first three games.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's a big number. Kincaid for that, I haven't done these ahead of time. I'm looking now. Kincaid had 12.
Well, just look at their seasons. What were their target percentages in their offenses? And maybe this will be the big difference. Maybe they'll flip this year because last year, maybe it'll just get evened out. Kincaid last year, you might look at his season and go, oh, wow, 91 targets for a rookie tight end. Guy comes right in. Like, that's a lot. That's a big workload. And it was. But let's be honest. Who was he behind? He had a Stephon Diggs on the roster. And although I guess that's true of Detroit, too. So I guess I don't know why. Why was it that LaPorta had 30 more targets?
Here's why.
Was he just on the field more because he blocks?
Not even that. Dalton Kincaid had he had four games with two targets.
Okay.
LaPorta never had a game with two. His low was three. And then four, and then five. LaPorta was a bigger part of their offense.
Right.
They target him 120 times to Kincaid's 90-something times, 91. Kincaid did miss a game. LaPorta did not. So he really was not that far off. Offensive snaps. You want snap percentage? Kincaid's early numbers with Dorsey, 80, 60, 51, 52, 53. LaPorta, 83, 82, 74, 80, 87. Right away, LaPorta's just playing more. He's just a part of their offense sooner. And then once Joe Brady took over, you see Kincaid's numbers go up for a while, and then they dipped a little bit in the end of the regular season.
Yeah, because all the other numbers are not that different. Like, routes run last year. LaPorta was exactly 500. Kincaid was 455. So, like, it's different, but it's not that different, right? 45 more routes shouldn't make up for a 30-target difference. Last year, target share in their offense, Kincaid, 17.7%, Laporta, 21%. He was just more, he just had more attention from the quarterback.
He was a bigger part of their offense earlier.
Yeah.
And throughout. Yeah. So, to see Kincaid take that leap this year, I think you could, as long as he stays healthy, book it. It really doesn't take much more to him to get to Laporta's level, just a little bit more of the focus of the offense.
Yeah. Again, like, I don't know that this was the reason why. Like, he's out there running routes when it's time for a tight end to run routes. But Kincaid, like, what were we talking about last year was, oh, he needs to, or maybe not even needs to, just, hey, is he even a wide receiver? Do we care that he blocks at all? Does anybody care? Is he even going to be listed as a tight end? And the Bills played him like he needed to prove himself as a blocker. And in that department, he did fine.
I think so, too.
He did. There were a couple clips from last year where he is burying defensive backs in the dirt. And it's defensive backs, not linebackers. But grade-wise at PFF, like, blocking was fine for him. But what did we end up with? He played 63% of the snaps. And wouldn't you want that number to be closer to, like, 90 this year? Shouldn't he be on the offense all the time?
A thanks to Zach Jones, who texted this in. We didn't mention this probably well enough. One thing that's different from Laporta, too, as I Google Zach Jones, what I really wanted to Google was Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox salary, because right now the Bills are talking 12, 12, 12 again, right? Last year they're talking 12.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox at the end of this year. Do you know Dawson Knox's cap hit next year?
Next year?
Yeah.
That's year three of the extension, isn't that usually when you pay for it?
They restructured him, and
okay,
one might argue they maybe shouldn't have. His cap hit next year is $14 million.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then an out, because the following year it's $17
million. So next year they'll have to decide, do we want to really have him for one more year on a pretty big cap hit, or do we want to commit to him longer and spread it out?
Yeah.
And that's not appealing either.
Dawson Knox is on the team next year. Their dead cap is 16.9 if they cut him.
What if they trade him? is that an option?
I don't know. But that's,
that sounds like a lot.
Zach's right. Like, Laporta's not fighting for time with anybody in here.
Right.
Kincaid is with Knox.
Right.
So they're going to get another year of that this year and next, and then he'll be gone, and then you'd ask, are they going to look for another tight end there to throw in? I mean, by then it'll be Kincaid's fourth year.
And again, for Kincaid, like, I don't think a year in, he's not Jimmy Graham. He is not, to me, I'm not saying he's the best blocker, he's not George Kittle, but I don't think he's a tight end. Kyle Pitts became a little bit too, where you can't even ask him to block.
Yeah.
If you look at last year, the grading between the two, Laporta was a better pass blocker, no doubt. How often are these guys not, you know, blocking for the quarterback in the first place? Run blocking? Kincaid last year at Pro Football Focus had a better run blocking grade than Laporta did. And again, the context needed, Laporta probably blocks tight ends more often than Kincaid does. But I think Kincaid is just probably going to be a great tight end. That we're not going to be debating whether or not he's a wide receiver.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. Jeremy and Joe, see the flyover video, the stadium? Buff Stadium,
I was gonna say,
live.
I saw that and I thought, Jeremy finally gets his drone fly-through. Can you be upset, though, that it's real and not virtual?
Yeah. Actually, when we get back, some stadium chatter, some PSL/Bills Stadium experience conversations. It is all word of mouth right now. And if people go to the news or go on a Facebook community to talk about it, had a buddy send me a message of his experience going to the Bills Stadium experience and the cost, the pitch,
mm-hmm.
and these are decisions the Bills are making. We are, you know, allowed to agree and disagree with how they're doing it, but there's something that I think is a very specific part of it that is rubbing people the wrong way. We'll tell you that story when we get back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Said that the stadium is being built to soccer specifications for the International Soccer Association. So I fully expect to see soccer games there in the summer and the spring, where there's not a whole lot going on right now. And as a result, you'll see additional development, more restaurants, more entertainment.
Mark Poloncar speaking with WBEN, the county executive. So stadium stuff. Going back to when we toured it, the field will be grass. The surrounding benches will be turf.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would have to swap out for soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about why for football that makes a lot of sense, you get a grass surface, which what players want, people want. And then if it does rain, the areas of the field where all of the people are standing all the time in
turf.
Turf.
Yeah.
Drainage, better for all that. Stadium is going up. Some drone footage out there I retweeted this morning, which... looks like a stadium. It's starting to really look like a stadium. And for a lot of people, you get a chance to get out there for the blue and red on Friday and get a look at it. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, from above, especially, it looks like a stadium. I wonder how tall it's going to get by the time the season starts rolling. Like, if they're talking about putting the canopy up in the fall, isn't the canopy's on top of the stadium?
If I'm not mistaken, boy, I should reach out and get the timeline again. I think by the time we are at the opener, of this season, it will be near the top, the top of the height.
Okay.
And the canopy will be hung. Like, the fall is, September, October, so.
Yeah.
It's definitely going up vertically pretty quick.
Soccer in the summer would be, just daydreaming about, you've got your Arsenal jersey on here. Liverpool and Arsenal here. Yeah. I don't know if they can attract that big a game, even if it's preseason for the Premier League teams. They could. Liverpool just played in Pittsburgh.
They're playing at Lincoln Financial Field today.
They're playing at Philly today, right? So maybe that would be possible. And if not, the American Outlaws Buffalo account tweeted out, can we get a USA-Canada friendly / qualifying game at some point in the future?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the games you're talking about.
Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. So I had a friend reach out to me about the stadium experience, the ticket purchasing experience, and talk to another individual about it as well. Another friend of a friend last week about paying $15,000 for a PSL in the field club or whatever that might be, and to pay for two of those, and then the price of the ticket. And, if you buy a PSL for 30 years, it's a 30-year agreement, right? And then So you buy your PSL, you spend $30,000 for two tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are thinking to yourself, I'm going to buy tickets for 30 years. This one friend of mine that I was talking to said that they did sign up. They said, yes, fine, I'll do it. I can afford it. I can do that. The total cost for that 30 years, Joe, was $330,000.
Mm-hmm.
For PSLs and tickets for 30 years. $330,000.
That is a long time, though.
It is a long time. Again, it's 30 years. If you're going to be around for 30 years, that's that.
Yep.
But of all the things they're doing and all the way that they're ways that they are selling this product, which is the new experience, the new stadium, I'm very bullish on how awesome the stadium is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford to go. And, you know, like, oh, you get a press pass. Eh? I got a couch, too. We'll see. I hope to. I don't know how expensive my PSL will be. But anyway, I have a friend that's had tickets for a long time. And the way that it works is they need to fill all different parts of the stadium, right? So, okay, clubs are first. Let's fill this club. These are the $50,000 PSLs, the very, very high-end stuff. Then the $20,000. But they're going in order of seniority slash where you are because they want to fill the more expensive parts first, I think is how that's working.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not gonna stay in the level that you are, they are telling you basically go up to the end of the line. Let me pull up my text from my buddy here because his experience was his PSL is $15,000 for one ticket, which means $30,000 for two tickets. And the way that it will work is he did not get other options. You can't say no thanks to the 15. I'll buy the whatever the lower ones are. We don't know what those are. So you need to buy your same seats, which are the field club.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing seat, amazing club. Where he sits now is $30,000 PSLs and a pair of seats. And since he is not going to do it, they're like, all right, we'll call you
in a year or in
who knows
8 months.
Who knows? And then on top of that, they offer financing. The financing for him that it was offered was 10 years at an interest rate of 10.5%, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a nut. That's nuts. Wow.
So
it's tough.
Your experiences out there, like, it, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. We don't get a ton of calls on how it's gone. If anyone wants to offer that information, they can. It's word of mouth. It's word of mouth.
I was going to say.
It's Facebook groups.
Yep. The information is not... It's pouring out. It's dark.
Yeah.
It's slow and dark is how it feels.
And it's not like, even though the stadium is being built with plenty of public money, we don't get access to here's how many they've sold. So, you know, the Bills, Legends,
mm-hmm.
I don't see their stuff either. Is it going well? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Are they saying it's going well? Maybe. I don't know that either. It's a lot of things we don't know. And for a stadium that is obviously so central to the Bills' existence, it's being built, it's going to happen, they're going to stay here. I don't know about the numbers of it. I don't know. The idea of buying a PSL and you can resell it, people will bring that up a lot. Okay, so I buy it. I buy it and I can sell it if I want to. And well, okay, 10 years from now, I can sell it. And now I'm not going to games anymore because I've sold my PSL.
Hmm.
And I'm also selling a PSL that 10 years have ticked off it. Now it's only for 20 years. Is that going up in value? Am I to believe that's going to go up in value? Why would that go up?
Well, it would...
Why would it go up?
I mean, it would go up because natural inflation, right? And it would go up because...
It would?
I think.
If you buy a ticket to a stadium for 30 years and it's $15,000, and you try to sell that ticket to someone for 20 years, they're going to give you $20,000?
I think... That's a good question.
It might.
I have been walking around thinking they would. That if you sold your PSL in the future, you'll get more than what you paid for it originally.
I would have absolutely zero expectation of that.
I mean,
it might be true.
It would kind of be the Wild West, though, of that. I mean, there are probably other comparables around the league. Like, I don't know. Like, I would need to ask somebody in Pittsburgh.
But what
Pittsburgh didn't have them. Minnesota.
But what you're asking for in that scenario is, right now, how many people will pay $15,000? Let's say the number is 20,000 people say yes to $15,000. Now, in the future, when I'm going to sell those, I really only need like 1,000 people to pay 20 to pay more. So supply and demand, I guess there'd be a lower demand. That would be the case for that PSL being more expensive in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, again, for less time.
Right.
Jim in Buffalo is with us here on the Western Hotline. Hey, Jim, good morning.
How you doing?
Good, Jim.
I had my experience with the walking through the experience at the Bills the other day. And, Jeremy, everything you're saying so far has been absolutely dead on how they plan on doing it. My seniority, last I checked, I was single-digit seniority. I was in the top 10. So my idea of going there with my family and going through the experience and seeing the stadium. Now, my seats where I sit now are now considered club seats. Now, where I sit in the stadium currently, between me and where my son sits, we straddle the 50-yard line. So I got great seats. There's no doubt about it. I'm in 134, center of the stadium. Now, I don't want to sit in club seats. That's not what I had planned. I want to continue our seats with our families since, again, like I said, 1960. And they've, you know, they basically have said, you know, here you are, here are your club seats, here where you're going. I said, no, I want to be maybe in the upper deck on the railing. I want to move my seats and have maybe better sight lines and maybe be covered. And there's basically that is like, well, we're not doing any of those right now. So thank you for coming in. We'll call you when that's available. But again, having a top 10 seniority number and not being able to go into that stadium and to pick where I want to sit. I don't know if everybody remembers a few years back when they remodeled the stadium and they had to reseat everybody. I remember going to the stadium, walking into the field house, and they would say to you, okay, here's the stadium. Here's your seniority. Where do you want to sit?
Yeah.
And we sat where we picked wherever we wanted to sit. Now this here is just to me is you know absolutely bizarre. And one other thing I want to add, when you're talking about the PSL, is good for 30 years. If I hold my PSL, which I you know I'll be in my 90s, I hold my PSL for 30 years. After 30 years, when the lease is up, I lose my PSL.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Right.
And you know it's not like automatically renew and I get it for free. I'd have to at that time probably spend $25,000 for a single seat. So it is not. You know, for somebody who is a longtime season ticket holder, this is not going well, at least in from the way I look at it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah, not like from the Bills side of this, but the idea of you were able to pick any seat you wanted to the last time they did renovations. The renovations, how different did they make the stadium? The stadium went from what it was to what it is now, and that's not a massive change, but there were some changes. This is, like you said, the seats you sit in now have become club seats. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'm reading my text from my buddy here about who was in club seats. He says, looks incredible. Love it. I can't pay $30,000 for two seats. And then pay $500 a game. Because that's what a seat was, $500 a game. Now you're at $4,000 a season on tickets.
Yeah.
And paying $30,000 to do that. So a lot of this has been all, it's built for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this has been where we built it, how we built it, no dome, not downtown. People have to be able to still afford it. And for PSLs, like this is also a subject about why. U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota, the PSL's there. And this is probably baked into why they're doing it the way they're doing it. Might there be a PSL in that stadium that's $1,000? Maybe. Maybe the last five rows are $1,000. And if you were to offer you, with your seniority, that ticket, again, like I'm trying to get inside how they operate.
Yeah.
If they're to offer Jim that with this ticket, he says, you know what, fine, I'll get in for two tickets, I'll pay my $2,000, I'm in. And then those sell first. And now you go to the crowd that already sits up there and try to tell them they have to go down to the clubs and pay $30,000. Like, you're not going to sell those seats. So this whole thing has been quiet. Word of mouth. And, you know, for someone in my spot or your spot, Joe, we're sitting here talking about this. It's not like it's necessarily the hardcore, most researched, fact-checked. It's just what people tell us.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's the way that it is a choice the Bills have and the people that are in charge of all this, they made. They accept this. On some level, they accept that this is how people will talk about it because by not being so open out with it, here are the PSLs listed. We don't know if those prices are already set, if they are fluid, if they don't know what the price will be in the upper deck yet. Do they know? They might. They might not. It's not being made available to anybody out there. So the whole thing It's we don't even know if it is messy. We don't even know if it is failing, or if it's, you know, they're selling tickets like gangbusters, and the people that aren't renewing and aren't going in, they are actually in the minority. We don't know that. And if they were to just say that, you know, you take it with the same seriousness, I think, as saying a guy's the number one guy on our board. Like, until you show me the actual numbers, I just have to take your word for it. And, you know, 10.5% interest on a 10-year deal. That's crazy.
I don't know how comparable it is and whether the years are the same, but like the Raiders, for instance, the PSL price has gone up.
That's Vegas.
The Vegas prices, like 5 years ago, there's a thing they sent around with, at least that I'm looking at.
Isn't that
for Allegiant Stadium with all the prices per section, and then you can go to their marketplace now and see what they're going for now, and it's about three times higher. But it's Vegas.
Right? It's Vegas. Isn't that one casino has to buy a bank of tickets from another casino?
And they also, you know, from the little we know about, you know, you mentioned $15,000 for the guy you're talking about. I mean, upper deck, the very upper deck corner, like the cheapest of all 12 sections they had at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas was $500.
You know what Minnesota
did? And really all of them that weren't club, like the most expensive non-club seat at the Raiders Stadium was $15,000 for a PSL. And almost everything was below 10.
Minnesota, I've got an article here, dailynorseman.com. There's a report 90% of the PSLs had sold heading into Super Bowl weekend at U.S. Bank Stadium. 16 different price points for the PSLs in Minnesota. And those price points ranged from $500. The cheapest PSL was $500.
Yep. Same as Vegas.
And the most expensive was $9,500.
Mm-hmm.
The most expensive was less than 10 grand. And we know the Bills' highest is 50. And the 100 level.
Are you including club for that?
If you're
Minnesota?
In the club, that's 50. But
yeah,
the seats that Jim's just talking about, section 134 on the 50, that's 15 each. So there are stadiums that have done it with lower PSLs. The PSL money is right to the team. Anyway, there's the best update we can give you until we get more stories. We've got more of you calling in. We can, you know, try and fit some of those calls in as we go. Extendo Sports coming up here on WGR. All right, you can still register if you want to win, be part of the Friday foursome with Encore Golf. That's right. Go to WGR550.com. You receive a box of Encore golf balls, $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, 1 year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, pristine, refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. The lucky winner gets to experience the excitement of playing golf. Seneca Hickory Stick or Lockport Country Club or Diamond Hawk or Cloverbank Country Club.
Should we be erasing that fourth bet up there on the bet board?
What is it?
Terry Pegula refers to McDermott as the best coach in the NFL. He never talked.
No.
So.
And you'd have.
That made it tough.
Who knows when he ever would again about the Bills.
Right. So I don't know. You bet yes on that.
Yes, that he would say that.
Did we bet that when they were 6-6?
Yes. Like, okay. If you think he's getting fired, I think it's more likely he walks out and says he's the best coach in the NFL.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, there's a lot of good coaches. I think McDermott is a good coach. Zach Jones coming up. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. We are back at training camp tomorrow. Thanks to all who called and texted. If you're on hold, you know, hang out. Zach's coming up. Jeremy and Joe, see you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.